Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he said, "I'm not." "Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Now turn, please, to Acts, the book of the Acts, chapter 9. Verse 1, "And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near unto Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said to him, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prince.' And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.'" Now one further verse, please, in Jeremiah chapter 31. Just one verse, the 15th verse of Jeremiah, chapter 31. "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not." Now I would like to draw to your attention in the closing part of the meeting tonight regarding these three voices. We have read together of the voice of John the Baptist. He's spoken of as a voice in the wilderness. And then we read concerning dear Saul of Tarsus, the great apostle Paul, on the day when he got saved and he received God's salvation, he heard the voice of the saints. And we read from Jeremiah chapter 31 of a very, very sad day. The day when a mother would be weeping over her children. The voice of lamentation for a sad death. Now we've been hearing tonight concerning the cry of the Lord Jesus and the cry of forsaken sinners. We read of a man, or heard of a man, who heard God's voice no more. It's a solemn thing to think that it's possible to go on living without hearing God's voice. But in these three passages, I would like you to notice, first of all, the voice from God. How precious it is that God speaks to man at all. What a mystery. We are not worthy that the eternal God should speak to us.
We are rebels against His kingdom. Every person in this audience tonight, we are rebels. We are enemies of the only living and true God. But He's pleased to speak to us.
What a mercy. I want to say to you kindly, friend, you be very careful with what you do with the voice of God. First of all, I would like you to think of John the Baptist. He is spoken of as being a voice, just a voice. He spoke a message from God. When you read of the preaching of John the Baptist, he was a very, very stirring preacher. It was a voice that pricked many a conscience. It was a long time in Israel since people had ever heard anything like John's preaching. It came like thunder out of a valley. You see, John dealt with the thing that people seek to evade most of all. He touched the matter of their personal sins against God. Now, I know that there's all kinds of excuses man has. People will say, well, it's a mistake. And people will say, well, you know, everybody does it. And then people will hide behind a hypocrite, you know, and they'll say, well, you know, they claim to be religious, but they're just hypocrites. Well, I want to tell you, friend, what a man told me one time, and it stuck with me. He said, you know, Jim, to hide behind a hypocrite's a very small person, and to hide behind them, you have to be smaller. And I thought, boy, that's a good word of wisdom. There's a lot of people that are hiding behind the hypocrites. They'll look at somebody that's a fault in them, and they say, well, if he's a Christian, you know, if those hypocrites there, they have a Bible on Sunday, and on Monday they can swear and be like the rest of it. Well, I want to tell you, friend, I agree with you, that's a hypocrite. Because a person that's on the way to heaven is no different on Monday than he is on Sunday. If he is, he's a hypocrite. You're right. But don't hide behind a hypocrite. Because if you hide behind the hypocrite, you have to be worse than him. And so, my friend, the voice of God that will touch you about your sin, let me say to you kindly, it's a voice of mercy. John the Baptist was a voice of mercy. He had come to see the people stirred up, that they might be willing to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. My friend, tonight, let me say to you, in these meetings, the majority of the preaching of the gospel is to see people get stirred up. If people get stirred up, it's an easy thing to get saved. The hardest job is to see sinners stirred up. Now the devil will certainly not want you to get stirred up. He'd pat you on the back, telling you you're doing all right now. Just keep at it. You're no worse than anybody else anyway. And there's lots of people like you. Surely the majority can't be wrong. My dear friend, tonight, the message of the truth of God to stir you up. Do you know that the Lord Jesus says that the majority of men are on the way to hell? Are you going to go with the are you going to willingly sit in the crowd and say, well, there's lots of people like us? Yes, friend, there are. I was once one of them. Thank God, God stirred me up. It was a voice of mercy. For if you don't get stirred up, friend, you'll die and go down to hell, never being stirred up. You let the word of God stir you up. Does God's voice cut your conscience? What a mercy. There was a lot of people when they heard John the Baptist preach, and you know, he not only preached about sin, he spoke about hellfire. And I want to tell you, when John the Baptist preached, the people trembled and trembled. They didn't know what to think of this man. He came out of the wilderness. They knew his mother and father, Elizabeth. They knew his dear mother. She was a godly woman in Israel. And John the Baptist, he left home at an early age, not to live a wild life, mind you. He left home to get along with God out in the wilderness. And God gave him a message. And back he came in Israel, a voice right out of heaven. I knew it wasn't an angel's voice. It was an ordinary man's voice that was born the same way as you and I. But there was something in this word that he spoke. There was a voice from God. My friend tonight, I hope that the preaching of the word of God will stir you up. That's what the voice of God is intended to do. To shake sinners. Why do sinners need to be shaken? Why do I need to be shaken? And you need to be shaken, friend. Because the devil has got the whole world asleep in his bosom. And if they don't get wakened up,
They're living high in the bosom of the devil, and they're lost in hell forever. My, what a voice. Voice from God. Shook them about their sins and made them feel guilty before God. A voice from God that shook them regarding eternal fire and shook them up. And the people came to John and they said, what do we do? I tell you, my dear friend, it'll be a happy day when you begin to inquire and say, what'll I ever do? Well, I'm going to be in hell. And God has showed me in His Word that I'm a sinner. And if I die like this, God can't do anything else with me but put me in hell. What will I do?
He's in my heart. And I look into the face of some of you in this room. I want to say to you very tenderly, friend, that I want to say to you no patience. Some of you have heard God's voice in this, right? I want to say to you very, very kindly. I say it at once too often. There's a man that heard John here. Exactly what he did with this sort of a fanatic preacher. Who does he think he is telling me about my sin? He's in sin with a woman. Unfaithful to his wife. John looked me straight in the eye. That is not lawfully thy wife. Okay. That woman looked at him with doubt and said, I'll have your head. Yes, the preacher died with his head cut off. But God fell silent for that very same man. There's nothing more to say to him.
Why?
Because he rejected the voice. You're going to play with the voice? I want to say, friend, you better put pride in your pocket. You better lay aside all your prejudice. You better set to one side whatever's hindering you and get down to business with God. For when God speaks, He means every word He says. And furthermore, He has the power to carry it out. So He saw it. My dear John, when he preached to the people, not only did he preach about hellfire, but he preached about the second coming of Christ. He preached of the coming in glory and power of the Lord Jesus. He preached about the day when the Lord Jesus would come with mighty power to judge the earth. And I want to say, my friend, the coming of the Lord should stir people up. Christ is coming back again. Oh, I wonder what will it mean if you were to waken up in the morning, young man, and call that mother's name of yours and find that he's gone forever. And call that father's name and find that there's no answer echoes down the hallway. Christ has come. Oh, what a voice for men and women is the word of God to warn them of the coming of the Savior. Friend, we warn you tonight because in one solitary moment, quickly and swiftly, then I am speaking to you. Christ will remove from us His saints forever, and the door will close. Oh, what an awful moment. Think of those in this meeting tonight who have been left upon their chair. I see young men, young women in this meeting holding a Bible in their hands. I want to say to you, friend, you may never have stained the pages of that Bible with tears to this place. And once the Lord comes, you will. Oh, do I see that young woman? I see feverishly turns the pages of God's holy word and turns us to the sea can and makes us hear the God brings it to you. And it is the call of the world, the God, the Lord of the world, and oh, how she is glad to get it up in there. But the word is not her. There are holes of soul. It's all back to mock her now. Why? God hopes you did nothing. Door is closed. Oh, my friend, if these gospel meetings are a voice to you, I beseech of you with all my being tonight, don't trifle with the voice of God. It's your only hope. Unless you hear
God's voice and let you obey God's voice. Some tonight are far too proud to obey God's voice. They're afraid that someone would see it here. They're afraid that someone would see them stay in their sleep. And they go out the door and they're lost forever. Because they call to the voice. They call them. They think that God is speak. And then to die. When I turn to Acts chapter 9, I see a dear man. And he heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. My, what a mercy. See him as he's going down the road. I don't suppose, and I know that there's certainly no one in this meeting tonight like dear Saul of Tarsus. He had in his jacket pocket, he had actual letters of authority from the Jewish Sanhedrin. If he found a Jew that had been converted, he had the right to put them in prison. He gnashed his teeth against the Lord Jesus. My, I want to say this though. There's one thing that grieves my soul as I move amongst the families of the Lord's people at times. And I know it in my own family, and it causes our souls to bleed. When I see young men and young women, and they turn their back upon the Lord Jesus to embrace a godless world, and go down to the pit in the awfulness of hellfire forever. It's just the same as dear Saul. He gnashed his teeth. I've had enough of it. Go to mitten and reading the Bible and bowing the prayer. Why, I'm all right, that's far too much. You want it, you can have it. I'm not going to have it. Young man, young woman,
let me tell you how it is. It'll only be by the mercy of God. Let us get to hear God's voice.
Oh, how solemn it is to think that God's voice should reach men and that they should stifle it. That they should pour the cold waters of rebellion upon the flame of the voice of God and stifle the only voice that can ever speak mercy to them. Oh, tonight, dear soul, we have beseeched you to bow to the voice of God the Spirit. He loves you. He wants to see you delivered from going into the pit. And it's mercy that holds out his hands in grace and offers you forgiveness of all that he knows you to be. He wants to embrace you with grace and save you tonight. Oh, dear soul, may I ask this kindly, if you have heard it once, will you not bow? Be like dear Saul. When dear Saul heard the voice of the Lord Jesus, you know what he did?
He got right down the road here. The Lord Jesus opened the door. He's in public.
Oh, the Lord said to him, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the prince. He'd been kicking. When we look over the history of this dear man, there were several things he kicked against. And I wonder if there's some in the meeting just like him. You know, Saul had some in his family that had gotten saved. Oh, how that chagrined him terribly. That rubbed him the wrong way. Oh, to think that they'd gotten saved. And they likely told him about it. Saul, if you don't get Christ, you'll be lost forever. And he gnashed his teeth on it. One of his best friends had gotten saved. Dear Stephen and he went to the same school together under Gamaliel. They sat under the same teacher, and Stephen went and got saved, and he was glad to see him die out of the stone. Poor Saul, he hated the thought that God should speak to him as a sinner, and he kicked against it. He kicked against it. God put his finger on a sore spot in his life. He knew of sin in his life, dear Saul. Secretly in his soul. And Romans 7 tells us God put his thumb on it. And he wouldn't let go. He pressed it home. He saw, kicked it. Oh, how he kicked against it. The consciousness of sin. And the guilt of sin. He kicked against it. God kept his finger right on him. Oh, I hope there's souls in this meeting tonight. And God will in mercy be pleased to hear our prayers. And keep his finger on you and not let you go, that you might bow and be saved and delivered from the devil and sin and hell for all eternity. You saw his bow in the truck on the side of the road. I got saved in the side of a bed, but I want to tell you, friend, it'd be a grand thing tonight if you got saved in that chair where you're sitting. I don't care where you're saved. I don't mind a bit. Whether it be in your work or in your automobile or at the side of the road or in the truck, like Saul. But one thing is sure, you'll have to bow to that voice. You'll have to go down, my friend, when the Lord Jesus speaks to you. You've been a rebel. You're a sinner.
from top to bottom, inside and out, from first to last. It is a mercy that you're not in the pit. You need to bow, young friends and older ones, bow to the voice of the Lord Jesus. But you know, to this man's reply, when the Lord Jesus spoke to him, he was not intending to send Saul to hell. He wanted to see him safe from going to hell. And my friend, that's why we're here. We want to see you bow to the same voice. For the voice that condemns you is the only voice that can deliver you. The only one that can give you peace and keep your sins forgiven is the Lord Jesus, the man of Calvary. My, to think that the Lord Jesus in heaven, with his wounded hands and feet and thighs, his claw parted that day, he got to see that the man of Calvary was living. He was seen a miserable, unworthy sinner like him, and he was willing to receive him. Oh, I would like to convey that to some heart tonight, that the Lord Jesus is willing to receive you, and he knows all about you, just like he knew all about Saul. He knew about his past. He knew about the anger in his heart. He knew that he was kicking against his words. He knew the misery and the pride of his heart, but he was willing to take him and send him to all the changes. And it's the same to you. Think of the path you're pursuing. Think of the destiny you're going to. My friend, you need Christ to save your soul and change your life, and you might be on the way to heaven. And thank God, he's willing and able to do. But as I close the meeting, I have behind me of a day where a mother weeps. Oh, the weeping of Rachel Davis. What has happened? Children wouldn't listen to the voice of God. Rachel is weak. Oh, how solemn it will be. I think of fathers weeping in the basement of this building for a son who heard them more than once already in meeting. I think of a mother who sits in a gospel meeting and wipes a tear from her cheek, thinking of a son. She's thinking of a daughter. Oh God, speak to them again. Don't let them go down to the pit. I want to tell you, my friend, for your warning, God's word reveals a godly man by the name of Jesus. One day, he made his way up a staircase, alone to his chamber. And as he went up that staircase, he began to weep. He cried, oh, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son. My son Absalom, would God I died for thee? The voice of a weeping father. He stood one day, taking the funeral of a 19-year-old young man. Last time his mother asked him to go to the doctor meeting. Danny Coleman. He had joined the Navy. He sent him a gospel paper. He sent him a book. Then he fell from the mast of his ship and broke his neck. He asked me to take him. And I stood by that casket that day, the wailing mother seated in the chair who could not stand. Danny had a brother. His name was Jerry, 24 years of age. And after we prayed finally by the captain, many tears shed on everything. Family walked away all except him. Jerry came over to that pastor and he threw himself across. And he cried from the depth of his heart, oh God, if Danny's in hell, please have mercy on him. Then there's no mercy in hell. And you know, the impact. Oh, what a voice of wailing will fill the heavens with a weeping mother, a weeping father, your son, daughter, and not you, the missing God. Oh, we appeal to you tonight, friend. I trusted God's word as you did not. The voice in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Put everything out of your way.
everything in the world. It's friendships, it's needful. Your pride is headed. A burning hell lies before you. Your sins are against your soul. And God is speaking to you. Whatever you do, don't resist His voice. Get down in the dust like dear Saul of Tarsus. You say to the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, what wilt thou have me to do? Let me tell you, He'd gladly show you His wounds and proclaim His love for you. The sacrifice that gave to God a righteous satisfaction for your sins. And if you don't bow, He'll never be able to forgive. So we pray of you tonight. Heed the word of God. Dear Mother, dear God, may God graciously touch our hearts. Now is the time to be with you. I trust you'll never weep like David. I don't think I could handle it. And I doubt that you could either. Think of a son that's gone to hell. A daughter that's gone to wail in the pit. God, touch your heart to a sinner tonight. And give you grace to get this matter settled before it's true. O God in heaven, we wonder what we can say more to sinners as we look into their faces and realize that some of them are standing on very thin ice. Some of them in our meeting tonight, O God, thou hast touched, thou hast spoken to, we are aware and they are aware. And we wonder how it is that they continue to repent. Oh, what would it be to stifle thy voice once too often, abandoned forever, who can it be? There are voices in the pit of the damned tonight who once sat in meetings like this. O God, graciously touch hearts again. In spite of the rebellion of sinners, we pray to be merciful to them. We would pray the prayer of dear David, deal gently with the young man, even with O God, as we think of the solemn voice, the weeping of godly kings, and the sons and daughters, and stately the voice of God, we ask thy blessing upon thy truth tonight. Some poor sinner might realize that this is the time God has spoken, oh, that they might fear to lead it, the voice of God, that they might be saved, even tonight we pray, in the Lord Jesus' name.